Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Monday, December the 7th, 2020, 22 minutes past the hour. And this hour, we are going to be joined by one of my favorite guests this time of year. And a matter of fact, I was looking back through the archive. She has now joined us seven times every Christmas for the last 7 years, and it's always a pleasure to talk with her. And we're going to get to her momentarily. But during the break there, I received an announcement. And during these difficult pandemic times, I love getting an announcement like this. Now, as many of you know, the Monday before Thanksgiving, November 23rd, we had Marshall Cunningham on, who is a member of the Y-Men here in Marion. And for many, many years, since the 1950s, the Y-Men have sold real Christmas trees here in Marion. They have been the distributor of real Christmas trees in the Marion area. Now, all money raised by the Y-Men by selling these real Christmas trees goes for their projects to help build wheelchair ramps for people here in the Marion area. Now, that all being said, here is the happy announcement. Now, remember this. They sell the real Christmas trees. Marshall was on November 23rd, Marshall Cunningham. The trees went on sale the day after Thanksgiving, November 27th. Yesterday was December the 6th. As of 3 o'clock yesterday, every tree is gone. They are sold out. They have never sold out. Well, they have never sold out this early. They have never sold out this early, ever, said Marshall, since they started doing this in the early 1950s. 350 trees gone as of 3 o'clock Sunday. So the Y-Men aren't open anymore. It's over. If you wanted a real Christmas tree, I guess you'll have to go to a neighboring county because the Y-Men are sold out. Last year, Marshall told me at the end of the season, they threw 50 trees out. So think about that. 50 trees thrown out last year. This year, 350 trees sold out as of 3 o'clock yesterday. Earliest they've ever sold out in the history of the Y-Men Group, which is almost 70 years old here in Marion, doing selling of the real Christmas trees. I'm so happy to hear that, and Marshall thanked us for having him on, and thanks the Marion community for certainly making this happen. So that is a great announcement. So happy to hear that. Now we turn our attention to, as I say, another great Christmas tradition. Now, this has been going on for many years as well, and we're going to get the whole story, as we do every year, from Santa's number one elf, the founder of the Santa Claus Museum, and Santa's number one helper in chief. Now, by the way, we want to get this in really quick. If you want to send Santa Claus a letter, Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Santa Claus's number one elf, back for her seventh appearance here, seventh Christmas, Pat Cook. Pat, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. And please remind people that Claus does not have an E on the end of it. It is just C-L-A-U-S. Well, I think our children should learn that early on.
Do a lot of letters show up with an E on the end?
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm looking at an envelope, and I'm looking at a letter right now. Lots and lots and lots, adults and kids. And, of course, the kids, I mean, they misspell and they're wonderful, but have a lot of really, really wonderful letters. But just a little suggestion, no E on Claus, A clause is a part of speech, right?
Well, you know, Pat, it's interesting because we have been talking, it's weird you would bring this up because we've been talking a lot about speech here recently at the station, and I was looking at your great book a few years ago, Letters to Santa Claus, and with Elf on a Shelf, now that's E-L-F, but now Elf is E-L-V-E-S, so is it Elf or Elf?
Correct. It's Elf on a Shelf, but when you're talking about the elves, it's E-L-V-E-S, yes.
So, plural, more than one elf is elf, is elves.
Right.
But,
elves.
Yeah.
Elves.
Our language is a funny thing, Pat, that's for sure.
Well, it is. It's very hard. I understand that.
Well, Pat,
I'm looking at a letter. I just looked at a letter that was written in cursive, and I'm like, yes, yay, you know, because they're all printed now because kids can't read the cursive anymore.
Well, so. I wanted to talk to you about that, Pat. Now, since the internet age, since the texting, since emails, do a lot of kids type their letters out?
No, I think that's wonderful. They almost all write their letters, print their letters, or there are form letters out there that they get, I think, at stores somewhere where they can fill in the blanks, if you know what I have been nice, naughty some of the time or whatever, and they check a box, you know. So we don't get many typed. We really don't. And I'm proud of that. I'm glad of that. And I always compliment them on their printing or their writing, whichever it is, because I think that is so important. And then the fact that so many of them thank us, which is another wonderful thing. Thank us for what they got last year, and thank you. That's so great, I think. And we can help with that by pointing it out to the child that we're grateful for that. But almost all of them are written or typed. I mean, are printed. Most of them are printed. They're not really written.
Now, Pat, with young children, is it difficult sometimes to read what they're writing?
Sometimes, Scott, we get only scribbles. Sometimes we get only, like, red pens across the paper. You know, I'm sure Mom said, write a letter, and he just sat there and scribbled it, and that was it. And then the mother puts in the name and address. We hope. Sometimes they don't, which breaks our heart. When we don't have an address, that is so sad because that child should get a letter. I just read something my father wrote probably 50 years ago. Every child deserves an answer. And, you know, we can't answer. We look up addresses and we look up zip codes, but sometimes it's impossible when we have nothing but a name. So, you know, if the parents are listening, check that letter and give us, we can look up this zip code. That's not difficult. Sometimes we can even look up the address, you know, with Google. But we really are sad when we can't answer a letter at all.
You know, Pat,
we can't help Santa answer the letter. Santa knows where they are, and he'll be there, right?
Exactly right. You know, Pat, a lot of kids, and I noticed that I was out in a mall this past weekend, not a lot of Santa Claus this year because of the current situation we're in with the pandemic. How's Santa Claus doing?
Well, that is true, and Santa Claus has been absent from many affairs that he would normally go to and stays at arm's length in many instances. But I think Santa has to in order to be well and healthy for that trip on Christmas Eve, right? And you know what's amazing this year is how many children are concerned about Santa Claus, Mrs. Claus, the elves, and the reindeer, that they will be safe. You know, they'll say, well, Santa, you're going from house to house. Be sure to wear your mask. I think that's wonderful that they're thinking about that. So that's, you know, that's going to be part of our history when we look back at these letters that we keep from year to year, that this was the year that they worried about Santa having the virus.
Wow. Now, that's very interesting. So a lot of the letters coming in from these children, and what age would you say most letters are from?
Well, that we get them from infants, we get them from everything up to, I would, well, we get them from adults. So there's no parameter for any of that. I mean, it's grandmas, adults, all sides, all ages of children. And, of course, the one thing that often is said is, my friends say you're not real, and then we are absolutely sure to say, well, you know, Santa is real and will be here always. So there's no limit to the age or where they're from or how the letters come in so many different ways and so many different kinds of envelopes, and they come from foreign countries. And, of course, you know, if children are listening, Santa's very busy now getting toys ready, so he needs helpers to get these letters answered.
You know, it's interesting, Pat, that we're talking, you know, children here. Obviously, you said there are some adults, but that during this pandemic, that we often wonder, you know, how is this impacting the kids? We know what adults are doing and talking about, but they are concerned, a great number of these letters, these kids are concerned about the pandemic and about Santa Claus.
They are, and they will even tell Santa that, you know, mom and dad aren't able to work because their business is not open, and a couple of them have said, Daddy said it's going to be a much smaller Christmas. They're very impacted by it and well aware of it, and I hope everybody realizes that.
Mm. You know, Pat, when you see letters like that, and I'm sure there have been those over the years, but this year because of the pandemic, what does it make you think as one of Santa's elves?
What it makes me think is how wonderful it is to live in the United States, where there are so many organizations that help people that are in need. And you know, even with the letters, we know how grandmas and aunts and uncles help out. And I think even though there's so much pain right now and so much discord, but there are so many caring people. There really are. And I think we should keep that as one of the great things about the United States of America, you know, helping one another. And even one of the little girls that wrote, she was 8 years old, I remember this letter. She said, I don't really want anything for Christmas because this virus has made me realize how much my family means to me. So you see, some good came out of it, I think, you know, for those older children, 8 years old.
8 years, somebody 8 years old, yeah. Wrote that.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's tremendous.
Yeah. It is. It really is. And of course, I have in front of me letters we saved to be shared. And my favorite one, I don't want to forget this year, is right in front of me, and I'm trying to get it out of the box. And it says, Dear Santa, I've been good this year, mostly, sometimes, once. Never mind, I'll buy my own stuff. Thank you.
Well, you know, that's a very diplomatic child right there.
Yeah, I couldn't tell how old this person is. It's very good printing, and it's a very small card. But I thought, that's wonderful, isn't it?
That is great.
And that's what we do. We laugh and we cry and we share, and you hear somebody going, oh, and that means, you know, some child said something wonderful, and we share that. So it's like everything good that you do, you get back so much for doing it.
Mm. You know, Pat, there are a couple things I want to do here. We do every year, and I think it's important. And you touched on one of them earlier. You and I know that Santa Claus is out there, but how many kids do question this every year?
Oh, I don't think a large amount. It's usually, as you probably know, when they're 11 or 12 and their friend wants to know it all and that sort of thing. I remember going through it as a child when they'd say to me, that's your dad. But it didn't upset my belief. I think the magic of it is, on the other hand, how many still really believe. You know, in this age of so much information, being able to look up so many things and so many things on TV and Facebook and whatever, that they still believe. Now, is it because they want gifts? Maybe. But at the same time, it's because of the magic, I think. You know, the mystery and the beauty and how wonderful that one Christmas evening or day is, that they still believe. And I think it's wonderful. I hope it continues.
Absolutely. Now, Pat, the other question that we always go through every year, or thing we go through every year, tell us how this all became. When did this start? How did it all happen? How did we get to where we are today?
Well, it's been a little bit of a trip. I have been doing, a lot of research. Supposedly, the postmaster started answering letters in 1914. We don't really have, you know, documentation of that. But my father had been in the Navy in World War One, and he had been on the USS New York in Brooklyn Navy Yard, and I have pictures of that. And they were going to have a party once again for children who were needy. And somebody said, we need Santa Claus, and I do have documentation of this. They said, hey, we've got a guy in the engine room who says he's from Santa Claus, Indiana. Let's see if he wants to be Santa Claus for these kids. And that was my dad. And I have pictures of him on that ship in 1916. He was a very young sailor. And so he did that. And they had a wonderful Christmas party. And according to my records, and actually have a lot of this, he said that, dear God, if you let me get through this war, I will forever be Santa Claus. So when he came back here to this part of the Indiana, he went to visit the postmaster and saw how many letters he had, all these letters at the post office, and just overwhelmed and said, you know, I need to help this man. My father was like that. He would help whatever needed helping. So here, it started in 14 with the postmaster, and that was just the postmaster and his family, probably. But in 1930, 31, my father got it more organized and picked up letters from the postmaster and got help from the American Legion. He was very patriotic, from the local monasteries, from the local typing classes. I just heard a young woman told me, I remember typing those answer envelopes. So he was carrying the letters around. As I grew up as a child, they were always in his car, boxes of letters. And, of course, he brought them home. And when I was about 12, I started helping. And so that was when it started in 1984. He did it then, you know, 50 years, and he was getting very much older. And the local postmaster said, we need to organize this a little better. So they founded the Santa's Elves Incorporated and got a board of directors and became a 501c3, because our postage, everything is free. Santa sends out these letters free of charge. And so the postage is in the thousands of dollars every year, because we get farm letters, you know, and those are more expensive. And then we get big amounts of letters from schools. However, that's also different this year because schools are in session. So it's a different year, as you well know. So in 84, we founded the Santa's Elves and became more organized, using a place to do them. And so since then, it's been in a stationary place, because we don't want the letters to be out everywhere with somebody just answering without being, if you know, a little bit of surveillance, if that's the right word. So they're done properly and respected. And so we've done them in the museum building over at our little shopping area. And of course, now we normally do them in the historical old post office building, which is on my museum property. But this year we moved out of that because it's a very small room and wanted to be able to keep doing it, but wanted people to be safe. So we're in a very large room at the local lodge, Santa's Lodge, where we can be distanced. We take our temperature, we stay separated, and we wipe off tables, and we're doing everything to stay safe. So I hope I answered your question. That was a long answer.
No, you did, and it's interesting because I was thinking back before the letters started coming in, because we've had this pandemic now since March, what were the concerns as you were heading into this, that things would obviously have to be different this year?
Right, exactly. What are we going to do? I mean, we don't have as many volunteers because some people, of course, I'm 89, I should be at home, but they're doing letters. But a lot of people won't come, you know, because they're afraid, and I understand that. And when we have a group, we isolate them, you know, away from everybody if they are, and if they have been together or they're a family unit. It's made a huge difference. You know, before this, we all sat in that little room shoulder to shoulder and didn't worry about who came in or what, but now we do. Take the temperature, have hand, and of course there's a restroom here so we can wash our hands often. So we're being very careful. It has changed everything.
When it comes to a typical year, how many letters come through the office?
Well, last year was kind of typical, but also untypical. I would say they range from 20,000. Last year we had 31,000. It was a really, really big year. I don't think we'll have that many this year because of the schools not being. We usually get a lot of schools, and we love doing those, but also because we haven't had that many visitors writing letters here in town. As I said, everything's different, but we're going to make it, I think. I really do. I hope so, and I hope we're better for it.
Now, how many, how early do the kids need to have their letters in to get a response from Santa Claus?
Well, we asked them, we need to receive this letter by December 20th because of the fact that it depends upon, you know, when Christmas, what day Christmas falls on, because the post office won't be open, and we want to get the letters out to the children. So we should get the letters here by December 20th.
Now, this year, what are the kids asking for Christmas? What are the big items?
They still want Legos, and they want headphones, and they want tablets. And they want iPads and iPhones and switches, which some of our ladies didn't know what switches were, including me. I didn't either. A Nintendo Switch, whatever. So I'm looking at one right now. And he says, I was hoping to get a Lego set, a gas monkey T-shirt, a die-cast metal car, some new headphones, a Fire 7 tablet from Amazon. It's a pretty long list. A Lego Ford Mustang, some pencils for my desk. That's nice, isn't it? A survival backpack, a new pocket knife. But he says, I hope you could give me one or two things of these. You know, he put quite a long list. But Santa doesn't have to bring everything. But it's different, you know, for every year, from year to year. We have to learn the toys. They still have the elves on the shelf, and they love their elves, and they ask that if their elves coming, and we have to be careful with what we say about that.
Absolutely. Now, since the beginning, how have the letters changed? Have they changed at all?
You mean the letters from the kids?
Yeah, have they...
Oh, yeah, they change from year to year.
Yeah.
You know, the first letter, I don't remember if you saw the book we called Letters from Santa that we did a long, long time ago. The first letter from 1930 wants underwear, socks, mittens, all that sort of thing. Underwear and socks and mittens and no candy. We're poor, they say. And, of course, then you go into the 40s and you see what they ask, and I'm not in the place where those letters are right now. But everything changes from year to year. You know, we have a year when Barbie is very, very, very popular, or a certain thing, Ninja Warriors and things like that. So they go with the commercials and what's popular. And then you still have kids that ask for things for mom and dad, and I always compliment them on asking for their mom and dad. Mom's so good to us, mom takes care of us, and things like that. But things change from year to year, definitely.
When you look back at the years you've been doing this, is there an item that was just the most popular item of all time?
That's a question that's hard to answer. Slime was really big for a long time. Slime, slime, slime. Yeah, everybody was wanting slime. I remember that, and that's almost gone. Legos, you know, have been good for a long, long time. And I think that's great. They're making things with Legos.
A lot of these letters, because I have looked at the book here, Letters to Santa Claus, which is a great book, a lot of the letters are funny in a way. Is there a funny moment or a funny letter that sticks out in your memory?
Well, you know, I just read you the one from this year that is probably the one I think is hysterical when it says, forget it, all by my own stuff. The one that was really strange was the child had sent us the front door key because he said, you know, we don't have a chimney and I want to be sure you get in. So, the other one was one child that said, the money is in the office to the left as you come in the front door. I didn't know if his parents was telling Santa that. But we always laugh about lots of them. They're wonderful. That's why we keep doing them, but they are wonderful letters.
And there are also so many letters that just, you know, tug at your heart, and it sounds like some of these pandemic letters are certainly in that vein. Is there one that sticks out over the years that of sentimental purposes for you?
Oh, yes, always. I'm going to read the one from the 8-year-old because it was right in front of me. She said, I'm writing this letter because I won't be able to see you because of COVID-19. I learned a lot about the meaning of family this year. I lost my baby cousin in February. Then COVID happened, and lots of people were dying, and lots of families were sad. This year, I learned what Christmas is all about. It's not about presents and gifts. It's about family, joy, and spending time with loved ones. Now, that's an 8-year-old. You know, that's pretty touching.
Unbelievable.
Just so you know, you don't need to get me. I'm okay with just a doll and my mom's gift as long as I have my family. That's pretty mature, right?
Oh, man, for an 8-year-old. And, you know, I think I've been thinking through this entire year, and, you know, you think it all the time, but especially in these times, that kids are human beings as well. They know what's going on, and obviously that letter demonstrates that.
Yes, I think we have found out that how much they've been affected by this, and I hope parents and grandparents and everybody understands how this is affecting them.
Absolutely. We're joined on the line here, and we'll be for about another 10 minutes by Pat Cook, Santa's number one elf. And by the way, if you do want to send a letter, it's Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. That's Santa Claus with no E, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Make sure you get your letter in. And every child gets a letter back.
If we have an address.
if return address. Make sure to put your return address in there. You know, Pat, what have you learned this year? Because it is affecting Christmas in a big way, the pandemic. What have you learned as an adult?
Oh, my goodness. I think every year I learn how wonderful people are, the volunteers that come, some of them 4 to 5 days a week and spend a lot of time here. How wonderful children are, and how amazing it is that this magic and this faith is still so prevalent. The virus has, you know, of course, affected me and I'm a widow, and my children are all gone from home. So, you know, I've just learned a little bit more patience, I think. But also that there is hope, and we have to keep hoping. I believe we have to keep hoping. And give that one, in our own life, you know, give hope to others and bring joy to others, however that is. I have a friend that lost a child right around Christmas, and I always try to remember to send her a card because I know how awful that is. But it's the little things, you know, not the big gifts, not that at all. It's those little things that matter.
You know, Pat, for somebody, because Santa Claus, Indiana is not too far from here, maybe about 6 hours. If somebody were to come to Santa Claus, Indiana, what types of things would they see?
Oh, we are really Christmassy. You know, we have lots of decorations. And so you'd see, of course, it turns dark very early. You're on Eastern time. We're on Central time. There are great displays. There's a beautiful, wonderful Christmas store that has very unusual gifts and funny gifts and great gifts. We have a toy store. We have the candy castle. We have the museum. We have lots of things. And at the campground, there's called Santa's Land of Lights, and you can drive through. And there's the story of Rudolph, and it's all lit up, and all the signs are lit with Rudolph, you know, getting on the sleigh and his nose blinking. It's really fun. And then in the Christmas Lake Village, we have what we call the Festival of Lights, which you drive through and see how people have decorated their homes. So we're not having a parade this year because we don't want to spread COVID any more than we have to. So we will have a Christmas fireworks on December 12th, starting at 5 p.m. So there's so many things to do, and it's fun. It's a fun place to come visit. Frosty's is a place where you can get great pizza. There's a couple of pizza places, brick oven pizza. It is a fun place, and, you know, it's cold, and it's Christmassy, and come see us.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Pat, you founded the Santa Claus Museum. Tell us about that.
Well, as I got older and I realized how many people didn't know the story of how the town got its post office, or how Christmas Lake came to be, or about the letters, or about how Holiday World, how it was founded by my father-in-law, the bank that my husband, all the things I knew and I know and I have documentation for, and people would say, well, we didn't know there were that many lakes in southern Indiana. Well, they weren't. They were dug out. You know, there's Lake Christmas Lake, Lake Noel, and Lake Holly, and they were all dug. But I thought, somebody needs to be able to, we need to be able to somehow document this history so that it is preserved properly, correctly, instead of just talking about it. So that was 2006. And I just had a small room over in the shopping area. And that's where we entered letters behind some screens. And then I talked to my son at Holiday World about moving the original post office building over to where there was the famous Santa Claus concrete statue that is so beautiful. It's just so amazing. It's lit up at night. It's all white or gray. So he said, sure, we moved that original post office building. And then I was worried about the original church from the area, which was sitting in a woods owned by a family who was doing their best. But it was being vandalized, so I bought that and moved that. So now, you know, just to preserve the history and be sure that it's preserved correctly, if that's the right word. I've been going through boxes and boxes and boxes, and I just found two letters that my father wrote in 1939, one to the Assistant Postmaster General and one to Congressman Baney from Evansville. And in his letter, he asked that that no other post office be named Santa Claus in the United States of America. I did not know he wrote that letter. I didn't know those letters were in my boxes. But that's history, you know? And I have the letters, which is wonderful. So that's kind of what's happened. We have a small room in a big, large building. We'd like to have our own building, but I haven't been able to do that yet because I have so much information and documents and things that people give me to preserve that I want to display. And I really don't know anything about museums. I just did it.
Well, you know, Pat, in all the times we've talked, I don't know if we've ever talked about this, what kind of guy was your father?
Oh, he was a wonderful guy. Of course, I have him on a pedestal. He wasn't perfect. No human being is, but he was so caring. And, of course, when he wrote a little pamphlet called How to Be a Real Santa Claus. And I always say he became Santa Claus. He really did. And, of course, that is a person that's so caring and so giving and so loving. And he was a very... He was Santa Claus. But besides that, he was so interested in the community and he founded the American Legion Post. He was service officer for veterans, his church. I mean, he just did so much. I find letters that he, during his time early in the 40s, he would send a needy letter to an American Legion post in the town that it came from just so it would be taken care of. He was a big baseball fan and president of an Indiana-Kentucky league and superintendent of the shipyard at Evansville when they made LSTs. You know what LSTs are? Landing ship tanks that were used in World War II. Accomplished so much in a lifetime. It's really amazing.
Now, Pat, we obviously know you're involved with this, but were there any siblings or a mother that were involved in this in any way?
Well, my mother cooked a lot for him and washed his clothes. We have pictures of her hanging red suits on the line. They're just darling. She never wanted to be Mrs. Claus. She always let him have the limelight. I had one brother, and he came back here after also having served in the Navy in the Second World War. And he passed away in 83 with pancreatic cancer. So I am the only one in my family left. I have a living son and two daughters. Two sons have passed also. So my daughters are very helpful. One particular lives here and is on the board of the Santa Claus Museum, and her children are interested in the letters. They're all old enough now, so I feel pretty secure in the fact that it will be passed on. Mm-hmm.
What would your father think of where you are in 2020?
You know, I don't know. I think he would be shocked, but I was quoting him the other day because of the political drama we're going through. He was very strong in his beliefs and all, but whenever the politics would change, he'd very calmly say, well, let's see what they can do, you know? And so I think he was also very, not religious, but spiritual, and he really would pray about it. He would be, I think he would be thrilled with how the town of Santa Claus has progressed. All the things that are here for people to do and see, and how the town has grown, but not too much, you know, still a very small town, 2,000 people. I remember how excited he was even about the interstate and things like that. He always had a great deal of interest in everything. So, you know, I think he'd tell us all that we have to live through difficult times, but we come out on the other end better, because he was very optimistic always.
You know, it has been an interesting year. There have been political things going on. Are kids ever interested in that? Do you ever get letters with anything political or world news going on? Are kids aware of that?
I don't think so. Do you, Dave? He's shaking his head. There's a volunteer here. I don't think we get much of that at all. At all. I really don't. So, God bless them.
Yeah, that's right. Now, as far
as... Kids are smarter than adults. You know, when you asked about a funny letter, I just picked one. How we doing on cookies? This kid says, how we doing on cookies? Do we need three or is two enough? Same with milk. Do we need two glasses or is one enough? Okay, all right, let's talk about presents. I only want a few things, like a hoverboard and a Nerf sports equipment and an iPad. Thank you for listening. Tell all the reindeer I said hi, and maybe take me off the naughting list. Thank you, Santa.
The letters are great. Now, Pat, we have about 2 minutes left here. Do you have any other letters you want to read?
Well, I have a whole box that we're saving, and we go through, and then I don't remember. I'm going to just pull one out that I've saved. The magic of all of this is how they get here sometimes with so little documentation, and we have to thank everybody to do that. thanks for giving us gifts, if you're even real. Last year I got nothing I wanted. I hope I get what I want this year. Don't expect me to believe in you. You're probably just some hobo that lives under a bridge and gets paid $10 writing letters back to us. So this one got a real... And then at the bottom he said, sorry, put me on the nice list. He was making a last-ditch effort there to be...
Tie it up at the end for Christmas, that's right.
Tell all your viewers hello. It's great talking to you and them. And I hope everyone has a peaceful, lovely Christmas and are safe and healthy.
Absolutely. And we want to let everybody know again the address. Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Pat, before we part ways here, what has this meant in your life? This time of year, these answering of the letters, helping Santa Claus out, starting with your father. What does all this mean to you? What's the legacy at this stage in your life?
Well, the legacy is to carry it on, to see that it's carried on, definitely, because it must be. I read something my father wrote just the other day. Every letter deserves to be answered, he said. And that's my mantra now. Every letter deserves to be answered. Of course, as I said, if there's no address, we can't. But every Christmas is, you know, they change. When I was a little girl, of course, I'm old, so in the 40s, I got two dresses, which I will never forget. And one Christmas, I got a wonderful cap and scarf that I'll never forget. But now it's really just about, and I hope some of the family can come home, but I want them to be safe. We won't have them come home if, you know, we test, everybody tests. And Christmases are always about the real meaning of Christmas for me, and about Santa Claus as St. Nicholas was the beginning of all of us, and he helped people. And so that's really what the legacy is, being put like St. Nicholas and Santa Claus.
Pat, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and have the best Christmas and happy holiday season and New Year. Thank you so much.
And I hope you do too, Scott. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Pat Cook, Santa's number one elf. Now remember, get those letters out. Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Make sure you get a return address on there, and you will get a letter back. For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Greenwood Street, Suite 5, telephone number 740-262-881. Facebook page, Mimi's